It seemed fitting today to be reminded that we have the privilege of meeting together, albeit virtually because of the pandemic. But it seems fitting to be reminded that we are meeting because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. It seems particularly relevant to conjure up the memory of one of the greatest events to ever take place in the history of the world. When Jesus burst forth out of the tomb, it was a game changer, church. It was a hope bringer. It was a disappointment breaker. Jesus made certain that we could sing a song like Waymaker. Jesus would set us on a course of celebrating God, victory after victory after victory. Jesus' resurrection from the grave is not a message reserved for a Sunday in the spring or once a year. The resurrection of Jesus is an event that gives life week after week after week, day after day, minute after minute. And as we worship today, may we live boldly into the victory secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, church, victory. I pray that today we are reminded of the resurrection victory and even perhaps some of the victories in our own lives. You see, I'm reminded of some big victories. 1991, nearly 30 years ago, I remember winning our high school league championship with a perfect 13-0 record in the league. We won our last game at home against Emerson High School. I remember the exact spot on that gym floor where I shot a three-point shot. The ball went through the rim, touched all net, didn't touch any rim. I remember we cut down the net after securing the Yale Cup championship. I recall medium-sized victories, like winning a game of spades, you know, sitting around a table at home with some friends and family and slamming down the card because I was victorious in a game of spades. I recall small victories, like writing a research paper and typing a long, complicated word and getting the word right without having to use the spell checker. Small victories. I recall recent victories, like completing my graduate degree in seminary. I recall sharing victories with some of you. Some of you watching, I have shared some victories with you. Many of you have been treated for cancer, and you have been declared cancer-free. And we celebrated the healing. Think, church, think of the victories you have experienced in your life. Our experience in life have been flooded with victories. Well, unless you are the Michigan Wolverines versus the Ohio State Buckeyes in the past 10 years. Sorry. Excuse me. Sorry about that, Chrissy. See, I'm messing with my wife and it made me sneeze. As we continue to explore our identity, described in Scripture, I want us to consider the language of victory. In the book of Romans, there is a different word used. The word is conqueror. And in Romans, the apostle writes about victory using the word conqueror. I'll talk about how conqueror and victory are related later on. But in the book of Romans, Paul writes this, and I want us to consider this as we continue to look at our identity from the Scriptures, that we, Paul writes, are not just conquerors and not just victors, but that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Turn with me, if you want to, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse number 31. Paul the apostle writes this: "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, church, I do not want to be misleading or dismissive. I know that our lives are not full of only victories. I know that some of us have witnessed loved ones battle and fight obstacles, events, and circumstances. I just learned earlier this weekend that a dear friend from Buffalo, New York, a man who poured into my life just through his encouragement and through his kindness, that he passed away. He's been suffering from symptoms associated with various things. He even went through a bout of coronavirus. He passed away. And I'm sure that for his wife and his children and the church family in Buffalo, that is something that yes, they'll celebrate because he gains reward as a follower of Jesus, but he's leaving here. And so I know that we have other things than victories. We have witnessed some folks lose battles in tragic ways. Experiencing those losses can be devastating to life, to our function, and to our witness as Jesus followers. I don't want to be dismissive or misleading. I have said this before, that Paul, as a theologian, Paul was average as a theologian. But as a pastor or a shepherd, Paul was magnificent. And much of Paul's work that we find in his writing and his visiting functioned to position Jesus followers to embrace God's love and to convince women and men all over that their place, that the place they needed to be was in the hands of God. Last week, we talked about being clay in the hands of God, the potter. And Paul would make similar appeals to folks all over the known world at the time to give their lives over to God and to surrender control of their lives to God, the God of the heavens. And that remains our appeal today in 2020, that you would confess Jesus as Lord. And that is to say that Jesus is king, that he's king of your life, and that Jesus has the control. But as we cede control, give over control of our lives over to God, what about everything else that's around us? We have so many things in our life that we just simply don't have control over. What about the rules governing the pandemic? And what about the broken systems? And what about broken communities? And what about natural disasters? Do y'all remember 15 years ago on the Gulf Coast when Hurricane Katrina came and wiped out thousands? No control over that. God, you have control over my life, But what about diseases that affect the healthiest and the fittest? The young boy or the young girl who has brain cancer. God, you control me, but what about all the stuff and junk around me that seems to be out of control? Paul, the pastor and shepherd, poses the question for us as if speaking directly to our hearts. When he says, what then are we to say about these things, all those things I just spoke of, the things that are out of control? Paul would say, if God is for us, then who is against us? Romans 8:31 seems to cut right to the chase. What about the things I can't control? What about natural disasters? What about pandemics? And what about social unrest? Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And God didn't withhold anything from us, giving us his son, church. He gave him up for all of us. And will he not, Paul says, with him also give us everything else? Not the most robust theological statement, but a powerful statement nonetheless. You see, Paul speaks to these Jesus followers and tells them to take a posture of victory. That posture of victory after hitting the game-winning shot, that posture of victory when you take the last trick in the game of euchre or spades, that posture of victory when the doctor says the cancer is gone, that posture of victory when you see the power of God at work in the lives of those who you never thought would turn away from their reckless lives toward a life of blessing in God. That posture of victory that Jesus had when the devil saw him out of the tomb and as if to say, I can't believe he didn't stay in that grave. And Jesus says, nope, I'm not in the grave. The grave clothes couldn't keep me down. The burial cloths, they couldn't keep me down. Death couldn't keep me down. I have victory over death. That type of posture of victory. Church, that's the posture Paul speaks into the life of Jesus followers. When we wrestle with what to do with all the stuff around us that seems out of control, Paul says, know that you are in God's control. And walk in victory. You see, prior to this, Paul wrote this, Romans chapter 8, starting at verse number 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn with a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. At work in the lives of Jesus followers is the Spirit that is at work praying prayers that we don't know how to pray. Do you struggle with how to pray or what words to pray? Don't worry too long, because the Spirit is praying with words and groanings and moans and groans that we can't understand. And God hears it and he understands it. And the Spirit is in absolute tune and harmony with the Father. The Spirit knows the will of the Father. And because of that incredible truth, we know that all things work together for good. Those are not words that are dismissive of that which is out of control in our lives. Those are words that allow us to take a posture of victory. When it seems that everything around us is out of control, we can still take a posture of victory. And while things may be out of control around us, we are in control, or in the control of God's love. Who will separate us from the control of the loving Christ? Will hardships, unemployment, underemployment, will that separate us? Will distress, disease, cancer, pandemic, will that separate us? Persecution, racism, classism, sexism, will that separate us? Will famine, lack of food or lack of resources, will that separate us? Will nakedness, lack of stuff or lack of the latest fashion, will that separate us? Will peril, danger to our way of life or danger to my position on earth, will that separate us from the love of Christ? Will the sword, death, or the threat of death, will that separate us? The answer is no. Why not, Paul? Because not only are we victors, Paul says, we are more than conquerors. In Greek, our English word conqueror is made up of two words, nike, which means victor, and huper, which means more than. We are more than victors. Take a position of victory and then know that you are, get this, church, get this, that you are more than. I want you to focus on that, more than. You see, you are more than distress. You are more than persecution. You are more than famine. You are more than nakedness. You are more than peril. You are more than the sword. You are more than the chaos. You are more than a pandemic. You are more than that disease. You are more than racism. You are more than sexism. You are more than classism. You are more than stuff. You and I are more than all of that, and we are more than conquerors because God loves us. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, if you were in this room with me right now, I might ask you to say amen. And we need to fill this room up with amens, because there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, because we are more than.
Amen.
Give God some praise, because he loves us more than all that is in our world and out of control. Give God some praise that he loves us more than any present circumstance. Give God some praise because he loves us more than any power around us, negative or positive. Give God some praise because he lives in us, and he loves us more than anything in all of creation. Give God some praise because nothing will ever, never, it will never separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. One way of declaring this truth is through singing these lyrics, the lyrics of a song written by a Nigerian woman. It's a song that has become a Christian anthem for many churches, particularly during the past several months, during this pandemic. You see, Christians wrestle with the new normal, and they wrestle with, well, what's normal, and when will we get back to normal? It's a song that makes a declaration that in this struggle with what normal means, that God has an unmatched power and dwelling with us in this season of struggle. Man, we need a do-over for 2020. This year has been a train wreck. It's a dumpster fire. And this song written by this Nigerian Christian, who, although Christianity is a huge part in Nigeria, Nigeria is a country that has suffered some of the worst real persecution in the world. And she penned a song that for the past decade has been the number two most played song in Nigeria of any genre. And this song has recently become a popular song in the States, but make no mistake about it, this song originated in a country that knows about struggle, that knows about out of control, that knows about chaos in much deeper ways than our nation. Nonetheless, it is a song that has now been translated into 50 different languages and is being sung all over the world. Perhaps this song, in its simple, repeated chorus, captures this identity of being more than conquerors because it seizes on the reason we could ever dare make that claim. You see, God, you are here, dwelling in our midst. You are here working in this place, and I worship you. You are a waymaker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. That is who you are. So, we are more than conquerors. We are victors. No. We are more than victors. We are more than conquerors. Let us live into that identity. If our church can be helpful to you in leaning into this identity, which is forged by the love of God, we'll keep coming back to that our identity is all the result of God's love. He initiated all of this. Yeah, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth because of God's love. We are clay in the hands of a master potter because of God's love. We are more than conquerors because of God's love. And during this season, during the past several weeks where we were still just trying to understand it all, let us not forget that we are more than understanding it all, that God's love is in passionate pursuit of all of us. And when we lean into God's control, when we lean into God's love, oh, we can stand in victory, just as bold as Jesus did when he walked out of that grave. Church, this is a resurrection sermon if it ever could be anything else. Let's live into this victory. Let's live into this love. Let's lean into this truth that there is absolutely nothing that could take God's love away from us, that could separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we are more than